Doctors will have to provide individual explanations for every single abortion performed in Northern Ireland. That's a pledge from DUP health spokesman Jim Wells, the man due to take over as health minister next year. A new recording system for abortions performed here is being introduced by the current DUP minister, Edwin Poots. Mr. Wells says the party continues to have concerns around the basis on which some terminations in Northern Ireland are taking place. He also stresses the law here does not allow abortion for fetal abnormality or rape. So will this new recording system make abortion even rarer in Northern Ireland? And what impact will that have on doctors and indeed on mothers? Well, Jim Wells is on the line. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Will.
And also Gretty Horgan from Alliance for Choice. Gretty, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Jim Wells, you say your party continues to have concerns around the basis on which some terminations are taking place. Does that mean you think that abortions are being performed for the wrong reasons?
Well, I think what we need to have is greater clarity. And I very strongly welcome the statement made to the Assembly yesterday by the Health Minister, Edwin Poots, where we've now identified that the figures, which looked quite high, can be explained by the fact that there's a difference between what is known as medical abortion and termination of pregnancy. Sometimes, for instance, if a child has died naturally in the womb, to remove the fetus, you have to have an abortion. But that would not be what most people regard as a termination of pregnancy. So the figures are down by about 43%, which is good news, but it shows that there wasn't as much to worry about as we first thought. So that's good news. But we also have introduced a system whereby there will be an explanation given as to why all of the other terminations of pregnancy occur, so that the board and the minister can make absolutely certain that they're being carried out within the law as established in Northern Ireland, which is a very, very restrictive in when abortions or terminations of pregnancy can occur.
Does that mean you suspect that they are being carried out outside the law at present?
Well, I must say, I was the person who asked the question in April originally.
So does that mean you suspect that?
Yes, I had my concerns. I have to be quite honest with you and say that. I had my concerns because I felt, given the statistics that have been released in GB, where, of course, we have effectively abortion on demand, the number of people, a number of women who would have their life immediately threatened by a pregnancy in Northern Ireland statistically should be about one a year. And then we get into this issue of long-term permanent in danger to their health or mental well-being. And that's a more difficult area. And I just, looking at the statistics from other parts of the world, felt that ours were a bit high. Now, the fact they've now been reduced by almost half has reassured me. But I want to be absolutely certain, I'm sure the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland would want to ensure that any abortion that occurs in Northern Ireland is very much in line with the strict guidance as established in law and guidance by the department. We must make absolutely certain.
So you think they're still too high?
I have the suspicions, but I think that the system that has been established by the minister will give absolute clarity on this issue, that now, without revealing the identity of any of the patients, we will know exactly why abortions are being carried out in Northern Ireland, because the numbers are extremely low compared to GB, where unfortunately, and sadly, 7 million children have had their lives aborted since the introduction of the 67 Act. And we want to go nowhere near that. The people of Northern Ireland don't want abortion on demand in the province. And we want to make absolutely certain that the very small number that are occurring are in strict adherence to the law as it stands in the province.
You don't speak for everyone, of course, in Northern Ireland. And Gretty Horgan speaks for Alliance for Choice. Gretty, good morning. Your reaction to this new recording, what do you think's behind this?
Well, it seems to me that the politicians are wanting to do the doctors to do their work for them, really, because, of course, we're still waiting for the Minister for Health to issue guidance to the doctors about when specifically it is legal for them to give a woman an abortion here. And we know from the court cases that, and from what the has been said in court, that actually women here have a right to abortion under circumstances which at the moment they're sent off to England for. So, for example, a woman who has heart disease, that means that every pregnancy is going to take 10 or 15 years off her life, that woman has a right to an abortion in Northern Ireland. But because of the cowardice, really, of our politicians and their unwillingness to actually issue guidance to doctors to say to them, yes, if a woman is this seriously ill, then she should not have to take her medical notes from her consultant here in Northern Ireland and take them over to a clinic in England to pay for an abortion, which should be available free on the NHS because it is absolutely necessary healthcare.
So this guidance that Gretty Horgan's referring to, Jim Wells, is it available? When will it be available? And what will it mean for both pregnant mothers and the doctors who are going to have to make these decisions?
Well, there were guidelines made available under the previous minister, Michael McGimsey. Those were taken to judicial review by the Society for the Protection of the Unborn Child and were found not to be in compliance with the law in Northern Ireland. And the present minister, Edmund Poots, is revising those guidelines. So at the moment, we're in a situation of between guidelines, as it were. I'm hoping that those, when those are issued, those will give clarity. Because remember, the law is very clear. The life of the woman must be at immediate risk, or there must be a long-term or permanent risk to her physical and mental health. Now, that's a very, very restricted criteria for abortions. And I am slightly suspicious of those who wish to have a sort of more pro-choice policy want effectively to have abortion on demand in Northern Ireland. And I'm absolutely certain that the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland don't want that.
Do you support the law as it stands, or is it the DUP's and indeed your own stance that you'd like the law to be even more strict on abortion?
I personally, and this is a personal opinion, believe that the law should be more restrictive. But the reality is, all the evidence shows that if you tamper with the present legislation in Northern Ireland, which is the 1861 Offences Against the Person Act, that you run the risk of opening the floodgates, as we did in GB in 67, to abortion on demand. The situation in Northern Ireland is hazy. The legislation is unclear.
Well, you make it clear. What would you like to have? What would you personally like to see?
No, I am not advocating that we touch the law, because even though it is unclear, it has protected the lives of thousands of unborn children in Northern Ireland. Indeed, statisticians have indicated that there would have been 91,000 abortions in Northern Ireland since 1967 had we had that act here as part of the UK. And that means that 6,000 people who are listening to this show, listening to the Nolan Show, would not be alive today if we'd had abortion on demand in Northern Ireland. And I think whilst the legislation is far from perfect, it has protected the lives of tens of thousands of unborn children in this province.
Gretty Horgan, correcting them here, but women travel to England.
Exactly. I mean, when Jim Wells talks about, 91,000, extra pregnancies here in Northern Ireland, those pregnancies were ended in England. We know that, right through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, into the 2000s, there were, 1,600 women every year travelling to England to another part of the UK that Jim Wells says that he wants to be, united with, to have a medical procedure which is available free on the NHS there. They're having to pay for private healthcare as well as, their flights, etc. And all it's meant really is that, those women are having to borrow, go into debt and danger, as they say, in order to pay for that healthcare. And actually, it's just hypocrisy, I think, on our politicians' part, because all they're doing really is, shipping the issue off to other parts of the UK. I mean, let's be honest, there are a whole load of reasons why why people in Northern Ireland, I mean, I support a woman's right to choose. I think it should be up to the woman herself. It's her body. She should be able to say whether or not she's willing to give life when she finds herself pregnant. But actually, there are very, very many women who leave Northern Ireland to go to England who actually most people here would think she should be able to get the abortion here. For example, the example I gave already, and which Jim Wells has just ducked, that of a woman who has been told by her doctor that every pregnancy that she has will take 10 or 15 years off her life because of a weak heart. Those women are sent off to England with their medical notes. What about a woman who's been raped and is pregnant as a result of rape? And don't have any politician to say that women don't get pregnant as a result of rape. They do. And, organisations like Alliance for Choice, like the Rape Crisis Centre, like the Family Planning Association, all of these organisations see on a regular basis women who are utterly distressed because they've been raped and abused, and they find themselves pregnant, and what do they have to do? They have to go to England. Or, as is happening, frequently these days, they go on the internet and they get the abortion pill over the internet and, you know, just really, in effect, have an illegal, it might be a safe abortion, but an illegal abortion here in Northern Ireland. And the politicians are doing nothing about this. It's 2 years now, 2 years since they consulted on the most the latest set of guidance for doctors on the guidance on abortion. They are ducking their responsibilities because they know that actually the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland, for example, support a woman's right to an abortion if she's pregnant as a result of rape.
We'd like to hear from listeners this morning too, particularly women and indeed men as well. The phone lines are open 08459 555 678. If you want to speak anonymously about your experience, if you have had to go to England, please do call in and talk and let people know the reality this morning. But Jim Wells, ducking your responsibilities and putting them onto doctors, because I gather that there's actually a potential life sentence for doctors if they're found guilty of carrying out an illegal abortion. So if someone goes to a doctor and says, you know, I can't cope with this, if I have to go through this pregnancy, I'm going to do something dreadful, does the doctor have to make that decision? Is he guilty, he or she guilty, if he believes the woman?
Well, he has to make it, or she has to make the decision. Will that lead to long-term or permanent risk to the patient's health? But Linda, could I just say on the statistics, the 91,000 lives that have been saved in Northern Ireland, that takes into account the women who have gone to England. And we, unfortunately, Northern Ireland have no control over that situation. But that stretch of water and the difficulty about going across to have an abortion has meant that many young women have thought twice about termination.
And what about young women who maybe have been raped or were pregnant as a result of incest? They've also had to go. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, Linda, I have to say that is a tragic and difficult situation. But should the ultimate victim of that terrible act, which is the unborn child, should he or she also be punished for what has happened by having their life terminated? No, there are.
So it's okay for someone who has a woman who's been raped to have to travel for an abortion to another country to cross the water?
That is a dreadfully difficult situation, and the woman concerned has to be given the full support of society.
But not in Northern Ireland, no support here.
In Northern Ireland, Linda, there are hundreds of married couples who would love to adopt children, a baby, and who could give support in that situation. So a termination of the pregnancy shouldn't be the first option in that situation. The child should be allowed to be born, and if the mother, for very good reasons, believes that that she doesn't want to keep the child, well, then there are parents throughout Northern Ireland who would love the opportunity to adopt that child.
So she should go through 9 months of pregnancy, having been raped, give birth to that baby, and then hand it over to someone else. That's quite acceptable.
And Linda, that is a terribly difficult...
But is that acceptable to you?
But the other option...
But is that acceptable to you?
The other option, Linda...
But is that acceptable to... But is that acceptable...
Linda... The other option is that you kill the child who's a totally innocent victim in this terrible set of circumstances. And I believe that a woman in that circumstances should be given the option of having the child and either keeping the child or more likely to have the child adopted.
So it is acceptable to you that a woman should go through that 9 months, a birth?
Yes. I believe that the option of killing the unborn child is one that should not be considered in that situation.
Linda, could I say something here?
Goretti, go ahead.
Jim Wells is using very emotive language when he talks about women killing children when they have abortions. I know women who would lie down in the road in front of a truck to save their child's life, their born child's life, who will sometimes, because they love those born children so much, decide that they can't continue another pregnancy, that they simply cannot look after the children that they've already got, and also another child. And that's why they decide to end an unwanted pregnancy.
But have they the right to take that life over their own?
Well, they would argue that they're not taking a life, that what they're doing is refusing to give life. There's a huge difference. They're not taking a life. They're just saying, no, I can't do this. I can't continue to give life to this potential child. And, you know, if they've already, whether they've already got children or if they're planning to have children in the future, women do actually think very much about mothering. I mean, all of the research shows very clearly that why women usually decide to have abortions is precisely because they want to be the best mothers possible, either the best mothers possible to the children they've already got or the best mothers possible to the children that they plan to have. And that's why they decide not to continue that particular pregnancy. I mean, Jim Wells talks about all the babies who would have been born if we didn't have abortion? Well, what about all the babies who would have been born if we didn't have contraception? You know, women are actually moral beings, and I think that actually more and more people are beginning to realise that, you know, women don't have abortions willy-nilly, that they think very carefully about it, and that overwhelmingly they do it not for selfish reasons, but actually for the opposite of selfish reasons, because they are very caring individuals who want to make sure that they do the best that they can for the children that they already have and the children that they want to have in the future.
Jim Wells.
Unfortunately, the statistics from GB don't back you up. Actually, 34% of those who requested an abortion last year already had an abortion, so this was either their second or third termination. And 76 people in Britain have had 8 or more abortions. And effectively what is happening in GB is that abortion has been used as a form of birth control.
Again, the research is very clear about this. There are a very small number of women, it is true, who have a what seems like a ridiculous number of abortions. Many of those are actually women who have particular issues, particular conditions that leads them to do that. But if you're talking about women who've had 2 abortions, for example, which would be, you know, the majority of those additional cases would be 2 abortions. I mean, if you're talking about somebody who becomes sexually active at 16, 17, 18 and continues to be fertile until they're 50 and who, for example, can't take the pill, contraception doesn't always work. If there was as much effort put into producing a decent contraceptive that was 100% effective, there is no 100% effective.
Let me bring in a couple of callers, if you'll just stay with me a moment, Jim Wells and Gretty Horgan. We have Mary and another young woman who doesn't wish to give her name, but let me speak to the young woman first of all, who I know you don't want to give your name. Would you like to tell me what happened to you?
I was a student in England, and I became pregnant. It was too late for an abortion. I was distressed, miserable, didn't want to tell my family, and I had to go on with the pregnancy as it was too late. So he is now married, living abroad. He was adopted. I met him a few years ago for the first time. It was wonderful. He is married, living abroad with 2 children. He would not have been here if he had been aborted. There's an organisation called silentnomore.com, international, worldwide, for women and men who have lost, who regret abortions and regret lost parenthood and lost fatherhood.
But when you were that age, would you have gone ahead if it had been easily available?
I most likely would have, only a kind nurse offered it to me, and it was too late, medically too late, and I'm so happy that it was too late.
What about the agony, though, of going through the pregnancy, of giving birth and then giving up your baby?
It was agony. The agony was worth it. He's alive, and so are his children, and so are those future generations. I believe abortion is, I understand the circumstances of young women, because that was me. I work for pro-life now because I understand them so much. I'm a pro-life activist to help them keep their children, no matter what the awful circumstances can be, and even worse than mine were.
Thank you very much. That was very brave of you to come on and talk about that experience. I appreciate it. And Davey, your view on this?
Yeah, I can't see why Jim Wells has the right to dictate to any woman what she has to do with her body. Like, I mean, it seems to be in this country now, it's all about big names and big titles and big salaries, and you can dictate to anybody whatever you want. You know, I think it's totally wrong.
Do you think the majority of people in Northern Ireland would, if there was a referendum, would want this law?
Well, yes, they would want the right to be fit to choose for themselves. It's like me going to get a tooth out. Like, you know, if somebody says to me, you can't get that out, you know.
I would like not to compare being pregnant and having a baby to having a toothache, if you don't mind.
No, but it's the point I'm trying to put over is I wouldn't want anybody dictating to me what I can and can't do with my own body.
Jim?
Well, I'm going to say that, yes, I'm glad you said that, Linda, because to compare the killing of an unborn child with a toothache, I think it's totally wrong. The reality is that what people forget is that mental damage that's done to women who do have terminations, who regret it for the rest of their lives. No one in the pro-choice lobby ever considers that. And I hear about thousands and thousands of people who have unwanted pregnancies, but I never seem to hear of anybody who has an unwanted child. And the reality is there are many people in Northern Ireland who have been saved from the trauma of having an abortion on demand, and who then, in later life, have been so relieved that they weren't put in a position where that was so easy, because the child has been born, they've either kept it, or the child has been adopted and is living a happy life. And there are thousands and thousands of people in Northern Ireland today making a contribution to society.
But women in Northern Ireland don't have the choice, and women in GB do have the choice. It is about choice. And let me bring on Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Hiya.
Good morning. You're 21, Mary.
I recently had a wee baby in January. And like you said about contraception, I was actually allergic to the contraception and didn't know. And I still had a baby. I had a lot of complications before and after the birth. And still to this day, I think abortion is totally wrong, and it shouldn't be considered as a contraception, nor considered anyway.
If you'd been 15 or 16, Mary, I wonder, would you have felt differently?
No.
You've got your radio on the background, I think, Mary, just giving us a bit of howl around there. But do you think it's still a choice people should have, or is it okay to be told in Northern Ireland that you just can't, full stop?
I don't believe it should be a choice. I think conception, there's life from the moment of conception. And if God didn't want you to have a baby, he wouldn't bless you with a baby. I think a baby is a blessing to this world. And I think I just think it's totally wrong to have a choice whether or not to kill something living inside you. You wouldn't kill an organ, would you? Because it's there. You wouldn't take it out. And that's basically what a baby is.
Mary, thank you. Ken, good morning to you.
Good morning. Just a wee comment on men commenting about women or ladies having abortions through rape. And I don't think it's a thing for a man. I'm not going to say too much. It's not a thing for a man to comment on. And Jim Nicholson shouldn't be getting himself...
Jim Wells.
Yeah. It's a very personal thing for a woman. If she feels that that was horrendous and she doesn't want to go through it, and he shouldn't get himself all down this religious and that, the abortion thing. That's a very personal thing. And I'm going to say no more. But he needs to get off his high horse. And as a very woman subject.
Not up to you, Jim. Get off your high horse. There's quite a bad line, Ken's on there. But I think he thinks it's nothing. You shouldn't be talking about it.
Is this because I'm a man or because I'm an MLA? And I'm not quite certain. I mean, I'm the father of three children. Therefore, I think that the fathers have rights here as well as the mothers. I am very, very confident. All the opinion polls have shown that the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland, having seen what has happened since the 67 that Act has been introduced in GB, they simply don't want this in Northern Ireland. And therefore, I'm confident that my views are reflective of the community as a whole, and that includes people from an evangelical Protestant tradition to a devout Catholic tradition as well. The vast majority of people don't want this obscenity. And Linda, the point that's often forgotten is the health workers. We could have the ridiculous situation in some of our hospitals where in one room there are staff frantically trying to save the life of an unborn child, and three doors up they're trying to kill the life of an unborn child who's exactly the same gestation period. And many health service staff in Northern Ireland have profound religious convictions that they never want to be placed in that terrible dilemma. They don't want to do it. And they have to be respected as well. And I am confident that people of Northern Ireland will back their public representatives who simply don't want this happening in the province.
Helen in Derry says that people don't abort children, they abort fetuses, and fetuses cannot survive outside the womb. A final word, Gretty Horgan, before we just come up to the past nine headlines.
Well, this point that Jim Wells just made about, there being fetuses aborted at the same time as they're trying to save children. Actually, the vast majority of abortions take place before the 10th week of pregnancy, when very many women only just really one or two periods late. And actually, that is as a result of the fact that the NHS is as good as it is at dealing with women. And actually, that's what we should be looking for. We should be looking to allow women to have their abortions as early as possible, to
have them free on the health services, so they're not having to go into debt and danger in order to end unwanted pregnancies. And finally, just to say that actually at least half of the women who go to England already have children. They are not young ones who just, you know, teenagers find themselves pregnant or something. They are already mothers. They know very much what they're doing, but they're doing it in order to protect their own lives and the lives of the children that they already have. And by their lives, I mean the quality of their life and actually their ability to mother the children that they already have.
Well, I'm going to have to leave it here for now, Jim, but I'm sure we will return to this. But the situation is doctors will have to provide individual explanations for every single abortion performed in Northern Ireland. A new recording system performed here is going to be introduced by DUP Minister Edwin Poots. We'll come back to more of your comments, your calls after the 9:30 news. Thank you to Jim Wells and Goretti Horgan for joining me this morning.